as their attitude is right and they're generous, you know, in helping with the things that we need. If we didn't have some of those folks, then, you know, then there would be some problems there. But it's the idea is that they have the right attitude about the wealth that they have and sharing it and so forth, rather than thinking that, you know, hey, because I'm wealthy, I'm special, and so I deserve special treatment and so forth. Got it. Of their status or what have you, and they go off somewhere, it goes back to, I think, to the duty I said earlier, that selfishness, you know, and so forth, that, you know, I'm special and I should be treated as special, so I'm putting myself above everybody else. Well, that's just a total focus on self. Exactly. Right. And that's part of James' point here. You see?
But Ron, it's not so much that the rich may think that they need special treatment. They need to get special treatment so we can get something out of it. And I don't think, and I might be wrong here, it's not about James condemning the rich. He's condemning the other people about how they treat them. Where if we would have equality among the people that come in, or how we treat them as we face them, that's the issue here, I think, more so than some are rich and some are poor. It's how we treat them.
Well, one of the things that, as we look at this next section here, we've got to come to terms with is being guilty on all counts. Right? Let's talk about excuses. All right? I've titled this particular part, Excuse Me. We go all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden as the first excusers, okay? When they sinned and God confronted them with their sin, what was their immediate response? Yeah, you know, these excuses. And Adam, you know, he starts making excuses, and in his excuses as to, you know, what he did, not only does he make excuse, but he blames God for what he did, right? It's the woman you gave me. You see? As if, God, if you hadn't given me this woman, I wouldn't have done this. So it's not his fault that he disobeyed God. It's God's fault that he disobeyed God. Okay? And of course, then the woman, what's her response? Well, the serpent, you know, he tempted me, you see. And so, you know, that really kind of starts mankind off, you know, as the original excuse me couple is what I've labeled them. You know, in other words, give me, I have an excuse for what I did. It's really not my fault. And, you know, that carries on, doesn't it? What was it that Moses did when God, you know, called him to free the Israelites from Egyptian bondage? What did Moses start doing? Started making excuses as to why he wasn't the right guy, right? You know, I can't really talk very well. I'm not a very good speaker. And, you know, I don't, you know, what? Ultimately, it comes down to the truth. When God just keeps answering every excuse that Moses has, and what was the reality of it all? He just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Lord, please send somebody else. You see? They had all these excuses as to why he shouldn't be the one that God would send. You know, to me, one of the most amazing excuses, if the one that Adam and Eve, you know, made wasn't bad enough, but go to Exodus 32 and look at the excuse that Aaron gave when Moses came down off the mountain and the people were there, you know, reveling in all this, and they have their worshiping this golden calf, and Moses confronts Aaron with what they're doing, and what is Aaron's excuse?
Gold and out jumps.
Yeah, the people gathered all this gold and I threw it in the fire and out came this calf. Talk about a wild excuse, you see. But that's kind of what people do, isn't it? Have we really changed a lot since then? In fact, we live in a society where accepting responsibilities for our actions is almost non-existent today. Everybody wants to find someone else to blame rather than accept responsibility for their own actions. In our schools, it's not the students, it's the teacher's fault that the students are misbehaving and not learning and so on and so forth. So in order to fix the problem with our low test scores and everything else, what do we have to do? Well, we've got to put these responsibility on the teachers in terms of grading them and so forth to make sure so we can find out which teachers aren't the best teachers and so forth. Now, granted, there are some teachers out there who shouldn't be in the classroom, okay? But it's not the teacher's fault that the children don't know how to behave in a classroom. That's the parents' fault. And ultimately, it's the child's fault. You say, but yet we allow excuses. We make excuses as to why people should not be held accountable. It's not my fault that I ran into this car or ran off the road into this ditch. It was the fact that I had been drinking. It's the alcohol's fault. You say, I'm not responsible for what I did because I was under the influence of alcohol. See, or whatever else. And, you know, we don't want to accept responsibility. Right? The brethren back here, when they're being confronted by James, are doing exactly the same thing. But here's what how they're trying to make excuse about this. They were making excuses as to why they showed partiality to the rich over the poor. Right? If you look in the, again, go back and look at the text, and there's a connection between verses 1 through 7 in the sense of parable, as we've been talking about, that James tells about these two men. There's a connection between those first 7 verses and the last verses of this chapter. The rebuke that James gives them, verses 8 through 13, okay? And that connection is the word really that we find in verse 8. Right? Look at what James says here. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, and so forth, apparently, they were claiming that they were just obeying Jesus when he said to love your neighbor as yourself. That was apparently their excuse. And that's why it appears that James is saying, you know, in other words, they're kind of going, well, wait a minute here. We're just doing what Jesus told us to do. We're loving our neighbor as ourselves here. And James is saying, if you're really doing that, so he's answering their excuse. Okay? If you're really doing that, you see, the problem is that they were loving their rich neighbors and mistreating the poor ones. Right? So they may have been obeying, you know, the royal law. Okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. The problem is they weren't applying it to everyone. They were just trying to keep the royal law as it pertained to certain people. Perhaps in this they may have also said something like, maybe we haven't been keeping this law as we should, but we do keep the other commandments. So in other words, okay, if we accept that, you know, we kind of messed up here. We had good intentions, but we didn't really keep the laws we're supposed to. But, you know, we're not, you know, we're pretty good people here. You know, we admit our mistake here, but beyond that, we keep the law. We keep God's law pretty good. Well, James's response to that is that they are convicted, okay, by the law itself as transgressors. So, in other words, it appears that what's happening here is that they're trying to use the law as justification for their behavior, okay? And James turns right around and says, look, that very law that you're trying to use to justify it, you're guilty of violating. Okay? Why? His justification or his reason is that they violated one part of it, so they're violating all of it. Look at verse 10. That's a tough verse here, verse 10 is. Okay? Whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Alright? And you know, the question that a lot of people have is, well, wait a minute, how can that be? How can a person be guilty of breaking all the law when they only broke one part of it? See? Well, it's basically saying that by breaking any of God's commands, then one simply becomes a lawbreaker. Think about it this way. If a person is a robber, okay, they rob a bank, but they've never murdered anyone before, okay, that person is a felon simply because they robbed a bank, right? So they put themselves in the category of being a felon, even though they haven't committed any other felonious acts. They are still a felon. They violated one law, but yet they are still a felon. If they don't ever do any other of the felonies, they're still a felon. Why? Because they violated that law. Breaking God's law, okay, is breaking God's law is simply breaking His law. There's no, you know, we sometimes like to kind of, in a sense, prioritize laws or categorize them, don't we? We got big sins and little sins, and, you know, there's important laws and there's not so important laws, right? And, you know, so we like to tell what kind of lies?
White lies.
Little white lies. Little white lies, and they don't really hurt anybody, right? Okay? Can anybody find the book, chapter, and verse where that is? You say? A lie is a lie is a lie, right? Whether it's a big lie or a little lie. With God, there's no big lies, little lies. They're all lies. Okay? I stole $10, but I didn't steal $10,000, so I'm not that bad of a thief, right? Okay. What did Jesus say concerning violating the law? Go back over to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew and notice some of the things He said. You have heard that it was said, okay, thou shalt not commit murder, which was obviously a violation of the law, right? And Jesus says, but I tell you, anyone who does what? Hates his brother. You say, is guilty of murder. Do not commit adultery, the law said, right? But I tell you, anyone who does what? Looks at a woman with lust in his eyes. Has already committed adultery where? In his heart. Remember we talked about this earlier. It all comes back down to the heart. You say, it's an issue of the heart. And so, even for those folks who say, well, but I didn't really do it, Jesus is saying you're still a lawbreaker because you wanted to do it in your heart, even if you didn't do it. I wanted to kill that person. I still want to kill them because of what they did. Well, but I didn't do it, so I'm not guilty of murder. As far as God's concerned, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. All that is mercy, they yeah. wouldn't be condemned because you're saying, hey, I want justice.
Yeah.
But it's the law of mercy.
Yeah.
What you think mercy is, okay, Father, you've shown me, this is the skin I'm facing with now, but as we grow in Christ, yes, we're being terrified of sins, and there's a different sin we struggle with in our lives.
If you violate one, you are guilty of all. You know, think about it this way. As you said, breaking God's law is breaking God's law. Okay? And that person who does that, any of us, we do that, then we're accountable for all of the law. Okay? Look at what Paul says, kind of, you know, again, this whole idea of kind of separating one part of the law from the other. Look at what he says over in Galatians chapter 3, or chapter 5, verse 3. He says, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. So, again, it's the idea that you know, if you're going to keep one part of it, you got to keep all of it. For those who were trying to force, you know, Christians to have to keep the law of circumcision, Paul's saying, no. If you're going to keep part of the law, you got to keep all of it. You can't separate. You can't pick and choose, in other words, which parts of God's law you're going to keep and which parts you aren't. Because if you violate one part of the law, you violate all of it. You're guilty of all of it. We had our lieutenant, when I was in the State Police Academy, Lieutenant Wimmer, had a saying. He'd walk around, you know, and somebody be griping about something, you know, whatever. And his saying to us, to remind us all the time, he'd say, it's a package deal, gentlemen. It's a package deal. You got to take the classroom stuff along with the physical stuff, and everything goes together. It's a package deal. You can't opt out and say, well, I don't like this part, or I don't like that part, or, you know, it's a package deal. That was his thing. Okay? And that's kind of what we have to do. We've got to realize that God's law is a package deal. It's all or nothing. And we've talked about this idea before. It's not a buffet where we get to go in and here's, you know, the law. Here's God's law out there before us. And we kind of go along and we got our plate and we pick and choose which of God's laws we like and which ones we don't. Like if we're at the Golden Corral or something here. Okay? You get the whole thing. And so you're either going to live according to all of the law or you're not going to live to any of it. You're guilty of violating all of it. So, do we have that problem going on today? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, why do we have so many churches out here that call themselves Christians? Because people are doing exactly that. They have picked and chosen which laws they want to follow and which ones they don't. Okay. And we don't like this one, we don't like that one, we make up our own, we have our own traditions, and so on and so forth. You know, when it comes time for the judgment, how's God going to handle that? He's going to handle it just like James is saying right here. You violate one part of it, you violate the whole thing. Okay. And so, no, it is not acceptable for us to pick and choose. In Christ Jesus, we are obligated to do all of His will. If we break one part, then we are guilty of all of it. And even if I don't break every individual command, I am still a transgressor of the law. Okay? And again, I think that James' main point is that we can't make the excuse to say, well, okay, maybe I messed up here, but I'm not that bad because I didn't violate all these other laws. So therefore, you know, give me a break here, kind of a thing. No. It goes back to something Chuck brought up earlier. What do I need to do? Stop making excuses and accept responsibility and allow God's grace and mercy to take control here. Because when I make excuses, especially when I make excuses based on the idea that I didn't violate all the law, so therefore I'm not as bad as, okay, then what you're doing is you're basically saying, look, I don't really need God's grace and mercy because I'm really not that bad. See, I'll save the grace and mercy for those who really are bad and let them get it from God because I'm really not that bad. I don't really need much of it. And James basically says, look, you know, we're all basically on equal footing here. Right? Paul made it very clear in Romans 3:23 when he said what? All have done what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So are we not all then transgressors of the law? Greg, you have a comment? Okay. Alright. Okay. Alright, folks, that's all the soap I got today. I get off my soapbox. And we'll continue on next week. Alright?